And today's message is moving forward in the Holy Spirit. Subtopic is spiritual growth. And some of us that were here last week heard Pastor Keith speak about growth, speak about the, how important it is for us to be on God's timeline. And he emphasized with me after service last week, he had said that the only time for him and Penny to come was at that exact time, Saturday and Sunday, because they are totally booked because of his apostolic oversight. It's totally booked for the next 4 months. And we had talked a month ago about setting this thing up. So I just want to encourage you that we are flowing in the direction of the Holy Spirit, whether you sense His presence or not. We are moving in that direction. And God is going to do even more awesome things for us. But Pastor Keith had laid down a challenge for us by asking us 5 questions. And it's a reality to me because I've really had to come to grips with something that's going on in my personal life. And I don't want it anymore. I want more of Christ. And so the first question he asked us is, do you want to grow? Do you want to grow spiritually? Do you want to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ? Do you want to grow out of the habits that has so long plagued you in your life that keep you from becoming all that Jesus has created you to become? Simple question. 2, do you want others to grow? Do you want to see family members grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you want to see your life turned around in such a way that you reflect the very presence of God who dwells in us? 3rd question is, do you want the church to grow? And that's not just Streams, that's the church worldwide. Of course, we want Streams to grow because we can see how many empty chairs we have here. And so, you know, we definitely want to be able to fill it up. I'm a little bit biased because I really believe that what God's doing is He has put us at the very point of what is going to be happening very shortly. And He has put Streams in a very strategically desired position in location and with other churches. And we definitely want to see the church grow through that. 4th question was, what are you willing to give to grow? I want to brag on you guys because when the word went out that we needed supplies to supply the house of the Lord, you guys did it exceptionally well. The electrician was in here and I was working with him, and all the toiletries and paper towels and stuff, I felt like Moses saying, whoa, it's too much. And you guys did outstanding. And I want to brag on you because you are responding. You are giving, maybe sacrificially, maybe it's not sacrificial, but giving is a mainstay, and that will help you grow. When you're able to give just out of a heart of giving, you are really exemplifying our Father in heaven who gave us His only begotten Son. And so to give will actually stimulate your growth. And finally, and this is the one that I'm dealing with presently, and Irene and I have talked it over the last couple of days, and I'm really struggling in this area. It says, what are you willing to give up to grow? It's easy for us to give, okay? Some of us may have abundance. Some of us may not have abundance, but, you know, we give sacrificially because we want to bless the people of God. We want to bless the church. We want to be a blessing. But what is that area in your very life that God is tugging on your heart to give up in order for you to grow? And we know people that have different areas in their lives that are being worked on right now. I call it the reconstruction of Jesus Christ in us. And we're not at a bad place. Do you understand that it takes tremendous courage to hear the voice of God and do what He's asked you to do? It is not a small matter, and I do not minimize the obedience of God's people. When we respond to His voice, it takes tremendous courage because that's faith. Because our first inclination is that you, Lord? Did you really say that? Shame, are you relating? And we all do it. We all do it. But today I want us to begin to start moving forward. And part of moving that forward is recognizing something very important that God has given to us to help us move forward. And He has given to us His very Spirit. John 14, we'll start at verse 10, read through 18. Those of you that do not have a Bible, please share. Ellen, would you come forward and sit with my wife? John 14, starting in verse 10. That's the last gospel. It is the love gospel. I love God's word. I love His gospel. When new believers come, I tell them to start reading this gospel, because it really reveals the heart of God for us. It says, Jesus is speaking here, and He's speaking to His 12, and He says, "Do you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say to you, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidences of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I have commanded." Again, we're doing this thing out of love, out of a heart of love, and it's in obedience to what He wants, not what we want. "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Many great precious promises are laid in here. But the greatest promise that He has given to us, the Lord has given to us, is His very Spirit. His very Spirit loves us so much that God wants us to know who He is. He doesn't want us to know about Him. He wants us to know Him intimately. And so, because He loves us so much, He hotly pursues us. When we were dead in trespasses and sin, Jesus was setting situations up to enter into our lives to reveal Himself to us one time or another. And some of us have not come to that place of realizing that it's God who is setting this stuff up in our lives so that He can love on us. Hear me. So He can love on us. A better word for for knows that is in verse 17 is understands. The world doesn't understand about the Holy Spirit because they can't see Him. We know Him by faith. Okay? It is the Holy Spirit who regenerates our spirit and enlightens us to the things of God. And so not only does He enlighten our spirit, He comes to dwell within us. The Scripture says that the fullness of the Godhead now dwells in just Irene. Oh, just in Holly. Or just in Timberlake. I know, it's corny. I know. Okay, don't throw tomatoes, please. But the Holy Spirit's desire is to dwell in us, to bring Jesus Christ out of us. You see, each and every one of us have been uniquely made. God didn't make a mistake when He made you. Okay? You are far more valuable to God than you really believe. And so what we have to understand is that when God gave us His Spirit, He didn't just say, "Gary, here's a little bit for you. And Ken, I just want a little bit for you. And I'll give you a little bit more, Jen, because I think you're cute and you're my daughter and stuff." No. The Bible says, He's given us the fullness of His Spirit without measure. The only thing that He's given us a measure is faith. But we're supposed to exercise our faith and make our faith strong, not in our abilities, but in His ability. We just need to be available to what God is saying, or say yes to God. And so what we have to understand is that he has given us his spirit, according to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. He has given us his spirit as a down payment of things to come. Of things to come. And this is guaranteed, because not only has he put his spirit in us, the Bible says he places his seal of ownership upon us. You are his. You are no longer your own. And he owns you. And it says that at the end, he's going to redeem you. We have received redemption. We are in a process of being redeemed. Our minds are being re-educated and flowing in the things of God. But when he comes, the fullness of that redemption will come into fruition. What is redemption? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to redeem? Bought with a price, okay? It's partly true. Let's use an illustration. You got, you ladies, okay, guys don't do this. We go in, we don't see it, we leave. You ladies go in, and you see a sale for something, and you pay it. You pay the purchase price, and you get a store credit, right? A coupon. Yeah, a coupon. Okay, you got a coupon. Do you still have possession of that which you have purchased? No. You have a coupon. And when the store has it, you take your coupon and you go back and you redeem it. Yeah. A rain check. You call it what you want. I'm using... Okay. Okay. Yeah, you get that evil Kohl's cash where you buy more than what you're allowed to, but it entices you to spend more. So God has given us his spirit as a rain check of things to come. The better way of looking at it is this word guaranteed is really a unique word. It is arabon. It is a Greek word that means a deposit or first installment. And it is referred to as an engagement ring. When a guy goes to a girl, and they've been courting, that's biblical. Dating is not biblical. They've been courting. Generally, the man comes up to the woman that he's wants to build a life with, and he says, "Will you marry me?" I only bend my knee to God. If I get down, I might not get up. That'd be drop, roll, and all that other stuff, and there's no fire here. And if she responds and she says yes, what happens? What happened, Holly?
When Ed proposed to me?
Yeah.
Then we started.
Did you get an engagement ring?
Yeah, I got an engagement.
Okay, so usually before you're actually going through the wedding, you have an engagement ring. Now, I couldn't afford it. I was a poor boy, and I got a cigar, and I took the ring off the cigar, and I gave it to Irene. Yeah, you know, but you don't know what prize you're going to get, so that's okay. But anyhow, what has happened is God has given us his spirit, an engagement ring, a down payment, a promise of more to come. Okay? You with me? It is a promise. When he makes this promise, he does not take it away. Okay? When we say yes, there is also expectations on us. And so this expectation is that when I say to Irene, "And will you marry me?" and she says yes, there are expectations. The expectation is, I am betrothing myself to her. I am now on the husband's side. I am preparing my place of employment. I am preparing a house for her to come to and be make it a home. I am doing all the things that need to be done. The foof I don't have, but, you know, that's what she does. Okay? And then on the wedding day, I come to her and I say, "Today's our wedding day." And we take our vows before God. and we live together forever and ever in total marital bliss. That happens with everybody, right? It doesn't happen with us. I mean, that's where God's got to work on me. But, you know, I would say in the 40 years we've known, the last 30 have been godly, and God has redeemed that marriage that we have. God is saying right now to us that the promise of His Spirit has been given to us, okay? And He trains us in ways that we don't understand, but we are learning about God. And it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to teach us. In olden days, what had happened was when she was betrothed, there was a woman who would teach her to prepare her this life together with her husband. Did you know that? We're not going to finish today. But yeah, that's what happened. And with the guys, they were mentored by the fathers, in order to prepare the homes for the wives and do all the things so that when the two came together, it would be set right. Now, God has made this promise to us that at the end of this age, what is going to happen is for us who believe, we've said yes to Jesus, right? And we took on His ring, His Spirit now dwells in us. And He has promised us that at the end of the age, when it comes time for the wedding feast, and that's what we are being prepared for, that's why we want to invite everybody, not to church, but become the part of the body of Christ, be part of the family of God, because He doesn't want anybody to miss this. He wants everyone to come. The sad thing is, not everybody's going to come. That's sad. And it's important that we understand that His Spirit is given freely to all of us who have received. And at the end of the age, God will open up the treasuries of heaven. And everything that is His, everything that He gave to Jesus, we now take full possession of. And so when we say that you know, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you can do this or you can do that, we must be anointed. Jesus said when he started His public ministry, the first thing He said, I have been anointed, after reading Isaiah 61. I have been anointed. He is the anointed one. We are anointed because we are in His body. Okay? And so that brings us to a place of understanding that God loves us so much and that He has given us a guarantee. There is a guarantee on His end. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He has given us His Spirit to build us up into these believers that He is calling. What I like to hear is the new generation of believers. It's not these make believers that sit in the pew and just receive salvation, and it's everybody else's job to do whatever it is. But what it is, this is a new type of Christian that is being formed even as we speak, because we're saying, yes, Lord. And that's not to say in the generations past there weren't a people like that. There was. There has always been a people like that. And the Holy Spirit especially works with these types of people, of which I would like to call the remnant. Okay? Now, when He has redeemed His pledge to us, or recovered that which He has purchased, and Jesus is coming back. We know it's impossible for God to lie. We know that He's coming back. We don't know the day or time. It says it right there in John. We don't know. We should not concern ourselves with that. We should only concern ourselves with, first, our relationship to the Father through dealing with the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do, and us growing up in all things in Christ, who is the head and we are the body. Not filling ourselves up with false pride and saying that I'm a prophet or I'm a pastor, I'm an evangelist, I have this gift, I have that gift. The greatest gift, Paul said, is what? Love. If we have all this other stuff and we have not yet loved, what good is it? And one thing that Pastor Keith and Penny had said, that they feel the love of God here. you guys exude the love of God. And so that tells me that the Spirit of God is active in your lives. That tells me that you guys are not struggling. Okay, we're all struggling in this thing, but we are moving, pressing forward to the high calling in Jesus Christ. To be a Christian today is going to take everything that you are and everything that you have. It's not a session of make-believe. We can't wish it. We can't do anything about it. We just say, yes, Lord, to what He says through His Word and to what opportunities that come our way. And when we mess up, the beauty of God is He'll give us a second chance. He'll give us a third, a fourth. He'll give us as many chances as we need to get it right. Because our God doesn't fail, and neither does His people. Okay? The question here is, I want you to ponder. I believe everybody is saved. I believe that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ and your salvation. And that's not the question I want to pose to you. The question is, are you part of the remnant? Are you part of the remnant that God wants to use in these days? And part of the understanding what I'm saying here is you have to understand what remnant is. Okay? And the best illustration I can give is when they laid this floor. And I was here that day when they laid this floor, and Ed was here too. There was a couple pieces left over. And we call those extra pieces remnant. Now, they were in odd shapes. They were of different lengths. But they didn't fit the whole. Let's take it into a spiritual sense now. The world is the rug. And you have been cut from the world. And you're a piece of this rug. Do you fit any longer? No, you shouldn't fit anymore. Do you feel left out of things? Do you feel disapproved? Do you feel like you're worthless, you have no value? Do you feel that when you're communicating with people, that they don't, you're saying the words, but they're just not getting it? You're talking the same language, but the vernacular is not there. Do you sense this? Do you experience this? If you say no, you may be part of the whole. The remnant is not part of the whole. Paul put it this way. He said, just because I'm of Israel, and Israel says they're of Israel, not all of Israel is Israel. Does that make sense? I'm not here to confuse you, but I will explain what I've just said. Is the remnant that was cut from this rug part of the world? If we use it as a spiritual sense. It was at one time. But when we said, yes, Lord, and received His forgiveness of our sins, the redemption of our souls, and we became enlightened, we got cut away from the main of the whole. Didn't we not? I can remember times when guys were telling off-color jokes when I was working in my full-time job, and they said, Gary, this isn't for you. And I'm like, but I like to hear a good joke. This is not for you. Was God saying, keep yourself pure? Remember I said expectations are expected from the bride to be and the husband? See, I spoke about the husband, and He's doing that for us right now. He's preparing our home. Did He not say that? Where I'm going, you can't go right now. But I prepare a place for you. But He has an expectation of His bride. What is that expectation? We love God. I don't doubt it that you love God. But we can love God till the cows come home. That doesn't make us the remnant that He's coming for. What he expects of us, his bride, is to forsake all others. To live a life in preparation of receiving him as our husband. To live in purity, in holiness, in righteousness. Forsaking anything else that would come in our way that would separate us from coming together to love and declare Jesus Christ is Lord and he is my husband. Now for guys, this is kind of tough because we've never been brides. And I've picked Irene's brain a little bit about it. And she confuses the daylights out of me because I'm from Mars and she's from Venus. Okay? But the truth of the matter is God has that very same expectation of his bride. And only the remnant take it to heart. And they say, yes, Lord. And when they say, yes, Lord, it is a total commitment to him. That is why when I go to weddings and I laugh and I see some of the brides and I know what their past is of promiscuity and stuff and there hasn't been repentance and they come out in this white, they have no idea the symbolism attached to the gown. And there are some that say, well, you know what, I didn't live a life too well, so we'll come off with an off-white. Is that biblical? My Bible tells me in Revelation that the bride came without spot or wrinkle. She was adorned in beauty. And this beauty that she was adorned in was in purity, in holiness, in righteousness. You look at Proverbs 31 woman and you see the very same thing. He expects us, all of us, to do that. But that still doesn't qualify us as remnant. Romans 11:5 says, so too, at this present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. What does Paul mean by that? It is by God's grace that we have salvation. And he has chosen you. But we're a free moral agent. We can choose to live this life or not. And it will take his grace to do this. We can't say, well, today I'm going to live in holiness and purity and go down to the movie center and watch a movie filled with corrupt speech. And believe me, I'm not saying not to do it. That would be legalism. I would just say, do what the Lord tells you to do. Because you're his bride. And so am I. Or we may tell off-color jokes. We may say things that we think is comical, but it is not for edification, encouragement, or exhortation. Going back to the questions that Pastor Keith asked us. I believe I'm part of the remnant. And part of that, the Bible exhorts me to make sure my calling and election is sure. Have you done that lately? Or have you taken for granted your relationship to Jesus Christ? I'm fine. I'm good. I don't have to show up on church on time. I can do whatever I feel like. I've been to weddings. And the last one I served, the bride was an hour late. To me, when you're invited to show up at a wedding, there is a responsibility, an expectation of that person. Because, it is about the bride, but she's on time. Because the wedding starts at a certain time. And I don't know where this mindset has come through. It's a cultural thing. But you know what? If you look at the parable of the 10 virgins, how many went? And how many were left? 5 virgins went with the Lord because they had oil. And 5 had to go out shopping for it and they were late. And they were left behind. My exhortation to you is really start getting on his time frame, because as the word was spoken Friday night to us, acceleration is what is going to happen this coming year. For you and for me, things are going to happen in such a fast way that we have to understand that this is not a joke. This is not, you know, I'll get to it when I get to it. Well, when you get to it, you may be left behind. And that's not God's best for you. And we see in Scripture, the tribulation is not going to be a pretty picture. I want to be part of the wedding feast. I want to be partying with the Lord. I want to have a great time in Him. And I believe you do too. But if we don't take seriously this thing, I mean, this marriage that Irene and I have takes work. It takes effort. It takes encouraging one another. It takes building up one another. It takes sitting down and listening to the other person who loves you so much that they will jeopardize, put themselves out there and make you angry, make you say things that you're not ready to hear. But that doesn't diminish their commitment to you. And God is that way. He has said things, and I've told you, you know, I've read the Scripture, and I've thrown my Bible. But that doesn't change the truth. What it shows is my immaturity. I wasn't ready to hear the truth. I wasn't ready to say yes, Lord, to this. And some of us need to really take a look at what's been going on. Moses took a nation of rejects and conquered a land. David took a bunch of misfits and malcontents and made an army. Elijah fought against Jezebel and thought he was the only one that was in this battle. And God said there's still 7,000 that haven't bent their knee to Jezebel. What we have to understand is that when Jesus took the 12, He took a remnant of the whole. He took a piece of which now you're part of that fabric. And what we have to understand is God means what He says. When Moses said, let's go, it's time to leave Egypt, he wasn't kidding, was he? They left. Daniel said, God will deliver me out of the lion's den. And he got eaten, right? No, God delivered. Caleb said, we are more than able to go up and take the land, for God is with us. Joshua said, let us cross over the Jordan and take possession of what God has given to us. Jesus said, follow me. And today I say, now is the time. It is now time for the remnant to assemble, to do the will of God before He comes. Now is the time. What does a remnant people look like? Well, first of all, they embrace their uniqueness. They don't want to be like everybody else. And they realize that not everybody else can be like them. When we want to be just like everybody else, we're saying we want to be a part of the whole. When in reality, we have to hear what God says. God loves us so much that in being part of the remnant, He has taken the very best from the world. You may think that your present situation isn't the very best, but God's not about your situation. He's about you. You are far more valuable than what the world says you are to God. And he has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for us. And you are important to that plan. It's not based on your feelings. It's not based on what you did in the past. It's based on, yes, Lord. It's based on our obedience and learning to listen to His Spirit and to love people for who they are. Love people where they are. You see, you were uniquely created to be loved by God, and you were uniquely be used so God can love other people through you and through me. It's giving this away. It's what I like to say is we're seeding our hearts of love into other people's lives who feel rejected, who feel dejected, who feel like they're worthless, who feel. That is a lie from the devil, because God doesn't want us to get our feelings, our emotions tied into this. There is a greater reality, church, that God has for us. And we have to understand that compromise, lukewarm positioning, falling into our carnal habits is no longer acceptable, because God is coming. And we must jettison everything. Paul says, jettison that sin that so easily besets you. But if you're not paying attention and you think you're good, the question is not if you're saved. The question is, are you part of the remnant? Because God's only coming for a remnant. He's not coming for the world. He died for the world, but our job is to let them know and to love them in spite of them rejecting us. Our Father's not rejecting us. In spite of them calling us names, our Father will give us a new name. In spite of them being unloving towards us and unlovable, God expects us to exude love no matter how we're treated. Because doesn't the scripture say, as they have treated Christ, they will treat His disciples? Are you not His disciples? Remnant people are highly committed and faithful to the will of God. They have a different spirit about them. They have a warring spirit. Yeah, they get knocked down, but they get right back up and they get back in the fight again. I can't tell you how many times I got knocked down while we were going through this process. And every time I got knocked down, God sent somebody to encourage me. You can do this. You're doing all right. God is in this. God is faithful. God will meet the need. And every time God revealed Himself to me in doing just that, what I was being encouraged in, God became that for me. But I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied in my spiritual growth, because I want to be more like Jesus. And so the question, what am I willing to give up to grow, has pierced my heart. What are you willing to give up? We have to understand that we're not fair weather believers, but we are bold and remain faithful and focused when the enemy comes and attacks. That doesn't mean that we have it together. That's why we need each other. I can't do this by myself. And sure as all heck, you can't do it by yourself. Jesus said in John 15, He's the vine, we're the branches. We can do nothing without Him. We need the Lord. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to take away all the idols that are in our lives. Everything that takes my attention away from my betrothed has to go when the Holy Spirit tells us to do that. If we just do it because we're not convicted, but we do it to please God, that's religion. You're absolutely right. Because it's not built on faith. So I'm saying all this to let you know that the Spirit of God is here presently. He's in us and He's upon us right now. It's not a matter of us knowing the Word. It's not a matter of the Word knowing us. It's a matter of walking in the fullness of Jesus Christ through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You are anointed. God has enabled you by His Spirit to carry out the Great Commission. There's nothing stopping you. Nothing can stop you except the old way that you think. And Jesus said in Acts 1, before He left, He told the disciples, He's standing on a hill before He ascended into heaven, and He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set for His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Was He kidding about that? No, He wasn't. He was trying at the last time to encourage the disciples that whether we're disobedient and not giving a business card out and then realizing, oh, we don't have an address, we don't have proper start times and all, that's immaterial. But doing it, when He says to do it, is important. You see, it remains us to be diligent in checking to make sure the accuracy of the information that we're giving out. But what Jesus is talking about here is there is a power, an anointing that He wants to impart upon His people for one purpose. What is that purpose? To witness for Him. What has Jesus done for you? You see, they could speak all kinds of things against you, but the one thing they can't take away from you is your relationship with Jesus Christ and how He has changed your life. Your life, not your situation, not the condition of you physically. He has changed your life. And we get messed up. We get so messed up that we equate our identity to the stuff that's in our life, and we don't equate ourselves to Him as our life. You see, we have believed a bunch of stuff that is not accurate in the Scriptures. You are the next generation of kings and lords upon this earth. You have been anointed for a time as this. God did not make a mistake. You are here for that very purpose, to reveal the love of Jesus Christ in a practical way. And you do this. But you may not have thought that there's more. And the problem with that thinking is God can be exhausted. He can't. You can't exhaust love. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love becomes all things. Why? Because that's who our God is. I encourage you this week, if you have not received power to witness for Jesus Christ, or you have heard the voice of God and He has tugged on your heart to be a witness and you have not done that, let's pray together. Let's repent before the Lord. Let us become proactive. Let us be the thorn in the world's side and win one for the Gipper. Okay? If you win one, and they win one, and then we win one more, and they win one, we will have to build the sanctuary in pretty fast time. It all starts with us believing who we are. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We have been anointed by God. We are to prepare ourselves and walk in purity and holiness and righteousness, forsaking all others, because He's our groom. And it has been proven that you're here today, because you received just the down payment of great things to come. Don't you want them? Because if you don't, I'll take your portion. Because I'm greedy. Anybody that's seen that movie, Wall Street, there was a part in there where Michael Douglas was addressing some investors. And he was saying, greed is good. I would say, be greedy in love. And love people. For that's even better. Amen. Father, we just love you. We love you, God. Your word is true. And I thank you, Father. I thank you that you're working in our hearts. I thank you that you're setting us up for victory, total victory and total dominion. But God, we will no longer let the enemy steal from us. We will no longer let the enemy shut our mouths in testifying about you and what you have done. God, you are the greatest God. There is no others like you. You created heaven and earth. And our prayer today is your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May it be our reality, Father, in this place and streams and in the world, Father, where your church is plowing through the darkness, God. Your will be done. I ask that you bless your people richly today. I ask, Father, that they really ponder in their heart the message from the last 2 weeks, God, and really come to a place of understanding of what it means to either just be a believer or be part of the remnant. Father, I see nothing but warriors here, for they are of a different spirit, who are becoming your disciples, of which I am honored to walk with them. I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.